Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
My name is Kit Laser.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things. This episode is a little something special. We're going to get highly personal.
So personal.
We're going to get intimate. This is the idea that we had for this one. We're going to ask each other a selection of would you rather questions mixed with highly personal questions we've always desired to know about each other. And with a little help from like one of these card games for couples.
Specifically, we have love lingual.
Yeah, so we'll just mix together like questions we thought of with some of these questions with random like would you rather questions I'm pulling off the internet and see if anything salvageable comes off from this. Obviously, we're doing this out of solidarity with the SAG-AFTRA and WGA strikes for new. I've still got a lot of people DMing me like, are you going to continue talking about Lost? Which clearly means they only listen to the Lost episodes and not the other ones, which is fair.
It's fine. I get it. Lost is awesome.
The only clear guidelines we've gotten as podcasters is that reviews and critiques are okay, but companion or rewatch podcasts are highly discouraged because they just encourage people to watch the Strzok Company's stuff, even though, frustratingly, there's not a boycott in place yet and they still want you to watch that stuff. They just don't want you to encourage people to watch that stuff. It's a weird. We're just trying our best. We're trying our best.
We're trying.
It's a complicated time. So for
we
all
do
of
what's
you
right.
That have like increased your subscriptions to us and increased your support and solidarity with us throughout this rocky time where we're 100% going to lose subscribers and listeners and stuff. Thank you. You have no idea how cool that is. You might be like, I know I'm cool. And that's fair. That's fair.
Well, if you know, you know.
Yeah.
Real ones know.
And to those of you that are leaving reviews on iTunes and rating us on Spotify and emailing us at streamingthingspod@gmail.com or going to streamingthingspod.com to support us in any way, shape, or form, thank you so much. Sincerely.
Yeah. And also, I encourage you to also check out the Striking Things t-shirt that we're selling in our merch store. It's a beautiful shirt that just says Striking Things on a baseball shirt. And all of the proceeds of that shirt, we will be donating to the SAG-AFTRA fund to help support the artists who are currently on strike. So go check that out if you want. I think it's a pretty cool shirt. I can't wait to get ours. I'm going to wear it all the time.
That's right, baby. Mm. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Let's dive right in. Do you want to start us off with a question or shall I?
Okay, so This card game, I guess we're going to start off with cards. Is that what we're doing? Because the cards do have blanks where it's like, hey, ask whatever you want. And I have my own questions and I'll save those.
We'll
for the
just
blanks.
Spice it up however we can think of.
OK,
like I've got a bunch of would you rather questions pulled up.
Yeah,
I'll start off because some of these are goofy as shit.
Well, I do want to preface that these cards that we will be pulling from have different categories to them.
Yes.
OK, there's individual questions like about the individual.
Oh, okay.
About the individual, like you, what is your take on blah?
Okay.
There is questions about us, a couple.
Okay.
There is question about past and future. Like, what are your history. Goals? What is your history? Oh. Yeah. There is question about family. Like, hey, are you ready to start a family with me? And I feel like we already did. It's called the Stream Fiends.
It's, yeah.
You are our children.
Inza.
And then lastly, we have intimacy. So mm-hmm. how are we fucking?
That's right. Every way we can.
You and me specifically.
Cheeks clapped.
Okay. You mentioned cheeks clap. Sorry, I'm already going to derail this episode because I have to tell you the story. You will love it.
I hope I do.
So you were listening to this on Thursday. We're recording on Saturday, which means last night for me was Friday. And if you are a member of our Patreon at the $10 above level, you have access to the fireside chats that I host, which means that anybody that's on our Discord can just hop on the Discord and we have like a video. I hang out with people, right?
Okay.
And we have a really good time. And we were celebrating because there's a lot of new patrons in the Discord. And we were like having, I wore the Spider-Man Across the Universe suit. And made like a glass of Kool-Aid and tequila, as you do as a fancy man.
That's right.
And got to interact with some brand new people that haven't been on the Fireside Chats before. And it was a lot of fun. One person specifically, I'm going to shout them out. Their name is Robbie. Really, really fun person. Love meeting them. Love talking to them. Told me the story. And it's sad. And some, part of it's a bummer because like he was laid up in the hospital for a significant amount of time. And so he's not doing well, but part of his like routine to kind of help himself feel better is to listen to our show.
Aww.
And he was telling me like how grateful he was to listen to us and how it kind of kept him in good spirits during this time. He did say he would like turn us on, I guess he had us on speaker and he would fall asleep sometimes and we would just still be talking, right?
Sure.
It was like his comfort was just listening to us talk. He said one time he got woken up by a nurse because everybody in the wing could hear our episode, could hear us talking.
Oh, no.
And specifically, it was the part where you were talking about getting your cheeks clapped and flea bottomed. And the nurses came in because they thought he was listening to porn. It was like, sir, you have to stop. And I thought that was so goddamn funny. I'm like, oh, I have to tell Chris this story.
What kind of porn is that?
I don't know. I don't know. You know people. But yeah, so I reached out to Robbie and asked if that was okay if I told that story. And he was like, yeah, Chris would love it. So I had to share that with you.
I thought the nurses were going to be like, turn that shit up.
Sure, that shit's fire. That guy gets it.
Wow.
So yeah, we apparently disrupted a whole ass hospital wing.
I know other patients were like, this is awesome. I too would get my cheeks clapped and flea bottom.
I really hope that we have
somebody speaking my truth.
There's somebody who became a patron of our show just because they heard that in a hospital.
Oh yeah.
They're like, oh, that show sounds great. Well, let me look it up.
Watched House of the Dragon until I heard that hot fire.
Thanks, my guy.
That is an amazing story. I'm really disappointed in the nurse team, though.
Yeah, they should have cranked that shit up.
Patch Adams would never.
No, he would not. He would have been like, everyone, download it. Everyone now. In every room. Streaming things in every room.
It's good for your soul.
Laughter is the best medicine.
All right, Steve. Would you rather sweat maple syrup or cry strawberry jam?
Sweat maple syrup or... Okay. I feel like this is relatively easy for me to answer. I think I would go with crying strawberry jam because I don't cry that often.
Yeah.
And when I do, if it was strawberry jam, I'll be like, you have a snack. Yeah. You could like lick your tears.
You lick salty tears anyway.
Yeah. You have like a little bit of white bread on you at all times. So you can like scoop that shit up and then eat it. And you got a nice little snack.
I agree.
Whereas maple syrup, if you're sweating, I sweat a whole lot more than I cry.
I'm a profuse sweater and profuse crier.
I don't want to be sticky.
No, that would be. It's
everywhere.
Can you imagine?
My like nethers would be like constantly sticky. You know what I'm saying?
Sticky nethers.
Sometimes when I'm nervous, my butt sweats.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Ass. Yeah.
Would be sweet ass.
Sweet ass. Yes, it would.
You don't want that Mrs. Buttersworth dripping down your cheeks.
No, 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 no. Can't clap them if they're stuck together.
You cannot. That's true. That's one of my biggest fears.
So you're going with strawberry jam. I'm with you.
I think that's
an
easy one. I think this one's interesting. Would you rather become good friends with your celebrity crush or go on one date with them? Don't let your current relationship cloud your thinking here.
Well, now I'm trying to think of like which celebrity crush do I choose from?
Mine's kind of easy, right?
Yeah. You would like go on a date, right?
With Case 2?
With Case 2, yeah. That's what you would do?
I don't know. Because she's a lesbian. And like, I don't know if this means that like, are they super into it? You know, I think I'd rather just be really good friends with Case 2.
I guess that's true. Like, this doesn't stipulate that they actually like want to go on this date.
Yeah, is it just like the magic of the genie? They're like, hi.
Like, I'm contractually obligated to hang out with you.
I'm assuming I'm paying.
Yeah. I'm assuming I'm paying.
Yes, you definitely are.
What do you do for a living? You're a podcaster? Oh, I'm definitely paying. So if my celebrity crush, like I have two go-tos when people are like, who are your celebrity crush?
Yeah.
It's A, David Tennant.
Uh-huh.
B, Veronica Mars.
Oh, Kristen Bell.
Kristen Bell. I knew it was, wow.
You forgot your crush.
Wow. I hope she can still be my friend after that shit. So yeah, I would definitely like to hang out with Kristen Bell. She seems like a lovely person. I want to go on a date with David Tennant though.
Yes, for 100%. Sure. I feel like he puts out.
He definitely pays too.
Timey wimey.
Wow.
Wow.
Let me get that for you.
Martin Sheen's here.
Yeah. Martin Sheen from Good Omens is always like lurking in the background. Like, oh, hello, Crawley.
Oh, hello.
I'm just here not stalking you at all. No.
I wish we could be talking about Good Omens right now.
I love Good Omens. I haven't started the new season yet, but didn't the season 3 get greenlit?
I think so.
That's good.
Season 2 just dropped after it feels like eons.
Yeah, it has been eons. It's been like 5 years.
Some of these are kind of dumb. Like, would you rather give up sex or give up food? That's a stupid question because one of them would kill you and the other one is food. But this is kind of interesting. Would you rather never age or never need sleep to function?
Oh, wow. That is a good one.
Yeah.
Never age or never need sleep to function.
Because even just without sleep, you have like an extra, 30 years to your life, assuming you live to like 80.
Yeah.
Because they're both tempting.
Part of me sometimes does feel like sleeping gets in the way.
It definitely does.
I wish I could just not have to do this and I can just do all the stuff I need to do.
It'd be amazing. Because I love when I'm up late and nobody else is awake and I feel like really safe because all my loved ones are safe and secure, but also like I don't have to deal with anybody. It's like the best combo.
Oh, absolutely.
But then if you never aged, you would outlive everybody you know and love. I'm going to go with no sleep.
I'm going to go with no sleep too.
For that reason.
Yeah. I'm a workaholic who needs my time.
Because there's like that Tom Segura joke where he's like, you ever feel like you're just kind of done. You're just kind of ready. Like you feel like you've lived a long time.
Constantly.
And I'm like, kind of. Okay, let's go to some of these cards. You draw a card and lay it on me.
I'll let you choose the genre of card.
Let's go with, I'm curious what family says.
Family?
Sure. Hashtag family. The Fast and Furious question. In Fast 5.
This is weird. This is just about Olive Garden. It's talking about endless breadsticks.
That's true.
What family member outside your immediate family impacted you the most?
Mm.
So family member outside your immediate family impacted you the most.
We're talking about blood relatives here, right? Not found family.
Yes, I assume so. But if you feel like that's not an easy question to answer, you can go with like outside family.
Well, I have a vast family tree. But it is a rotten, decrepit, Tim Burton-esque tree. And I haven't spoken to my brothers in 10 years, right? So it's just like, I don't know what to say. I was not close with any of my grandparents. I will say my uncle, Robbie, who recently passed, and I haven't spoken to him in a long time either. But he lived with us when I was really little, and he would draw these goofy cartoons, like pirates with knives in their toes and stuff. He was a really funny guy. And I think I got a lot of my sense of humor from both him and my dad. And so my love for comedy at an early age from Uncle Robbie. I'm going to go with that. Final answer.
Uncle Robbie. There you go. That's a good.
Do you have any extended family that made an impact upon you?
See, this is hard because like my family is incredibly small. Because outside of my immediate family, there was just like my grandfather. Does grandfather count as immediate family?
I don't think so. No, I think that's outside. I think the nuclear family, like mom, dad, siblings, is immediate.
Okay. Yeah. So outside of my immediate family, there was just my grandfather, my uncle, and his dipshit kids. So like
your cousins.
Yeah. And I don't have like never really had any relationship with either any of them except for my grandfather. So I guess I would just have to go with him because I lovingly share stories about my grandfather still. And he was like a dude. So this is a guy that like he came to America from Germany when he was like only 16 years old. He left his family. Like he had like nine brothers and sisters. Oh, you're like
first generation, second generation. What is that?
Yeah, I'm second generation. Because, yeah, he came to America like, you know, the story that we're told is that he didn't like Nazis. And so he came to America before all that went down.
What do you mean that's the story?
I don't know how true that is.
You have but an inkling that like maybe he was fleeing?
No, I don't think he was fleeing.
Halal.
I think he was. I really don't know why he came over because he was also one of those dudes that came from that generation. It's like we don't talk about things. Mm-hmm. We just stare at the wall.
You smoke cigarettes. And,
yeah, we have our hard boiled eggs in the morning and that is it. He was just one of those guys that he's always been an enigma. So I think people kind of make up stories about him. Not my mom specifically. My mom will be like, oh, he was an asshole, but I loved him. But that was always the kind of like, you know how sometimes family members have like this mythos that this is our family history. Like I remember my grandfather would tell us that we were the descendants of German Kaisers. Like we are royalty. And then like when we did there was years ago, we did like
a what's that called? The online test.
23andMe?
No, but the other one, the family tree specific one.
Oh, I know what you're talking about, but we did a lot of research as to like, you know, the family and like, that's not true. Like we're not related to Kaisers at all. We're a bunch of poor German people.
Does your mom not sprechen Deutsch?
Not really.
Not as much as you would think for having a German father. That's weird.
So my grandfather didn't have kids until he was like 50.
He forgot German.
He was like all in. He had a little bit of a German accent. He lived to be 97.
Good for him. Sauerkraut.
All that sauerkraut. I remember him very well. He was such a funny guy because, like I said, he didn't talk about a lot of things openly, but he would do this thing where like if a topic came up that he didn't know about or he didn't really want to get into, he would just go, "I have no knowledge," and that was his way of like ending the conversation. He's like, I have no knowledge. And he would walk away.
Ich habe keine, I forget the word for knowledge.
Ich habe keine Zeit. That's time.
I have no time. Ich habe keine Unterhosen.
But yeah, he was an interesting cat. There's this funny story. Like he was like 90 something years old and his eyesight was going and he was still driving, but he was he should not have been driving. And I remember my mom was really trying to like, Dad, you can't drive anymore. And he's like, woman, don't talk to me. and he's like, I'm a great driver. And I remember specifically my mom was with him. I was in the back seat. We're driving somewhere and he did something terrible. And this car starts talking to him and the guy's flipping him off. And my mom's like, Dad, that guy just flipped you off. And he's like, what? No, he didn't. Everyone in this town loves me. They all tell me I'm number one. Because they're flipping him off, and he legit thought it was like people.
Nummer eins,
my guy Otto.
Was his name really Otto?
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah,
that's the Germanest shit I've ever heard.
Yeah,
did he drink from a boot?
Oh, he probably could.
Das Boot.
I'd like to think so.
Bolt.
I'd like to think so. Yeah, he passed away when I was, I think I was like 9 or 10.
Yeah,
I was pretty young when he passed.
Yeah, away, I lost all my grandparents at a very early age.
Yeah,
and didn't my parents? Neither of them liked their parents. My dad never even knew who his dad was, so my last name's like a guess. So that's why that question kind of ass. You know, I'm more of a found family guy. Mm. That's why I like found family movies.
Same. I'm a big found family guy too.
Which category do you want?
I feel like you have to get me intimacy. Like we got to see what this is.
Okay. Ideally, how many times a week would you want to have sex?
Ideally?
Yeah.
All day, every day. Yeah, every day. Like, right? Like, at least ideally, once a day? Yeah.
I think that's nice.
Yeah.
Those are rookie numbers.
I mean, ideally.
Let's go to the next one, too. that one's easy. This card is blank, but no one needs to know. Ask a question you've always wanted to know.
Oh, okay. Steve, what do you want to know?
Steve, what's your favorite position?
During sex?
Yeah.
My favorite sex position.
Yeah. Posish. What's your favorite position? That's cool with me. It's not my favorite, but I'll do it for you.
What's your favorite I've got a lot of favorites.
Okay. I'm made of many tastes.
Okay. So I always get this wrong. So I might get this wrong. The uh-huh. name of it. Because okay. I feel like I get it confused with a very similar position. But is it reverse cowgirl?
See, I think a lot of people get confused.
Is that the one where they're facing you?
No, that's cowgirl.
So when they're looking away from you, that's reverse cowgirl.
Correct.
Okay, so it is reverse cowgirl.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you like a nice... I hate this. So you like a good cowgirl position, but you don't want to look them in the eye.
Oh, I like both of them, but... trust me, I like both of them, but something about the alternate position, it's like the angle's right. You know what I'm saying?
I guess, yeah.
The angle.
No, I get it.
It's all about angles. That's what sex
geometry.
Is about.
Geometry. Sex yes. is geometry.
Mass.
These into me.
Hey, you want to talk about infrastructure? The joke in the episode that never got released.
Reverse cowgirl.
What's yours?
I got to tell you, Steve, I think I have a controversial take here.
Okay.
I don't want to get too, because I don't want to alienate our listeners by getting really detailed here.
Okay, you picked this card.
I do think, not only that, I made the question up. I do think...
that's true.
I do think it's not lazy, but I do like to be on bottom, right? Mm-hmm. I think to be enveloped by my partner.
Yeah.
But I like the traditional cow person.
Traditional cow person.
Because, you know, you get to see him, you can kiss, you can do all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. But also, I think missionary gets a lot of hate, and it's great.
Missionary's great.
It's
yeah.
a great ergonomic design.
You know what I love about missionary?
Sure.
And this might be like really sappy and cheesy, but like you have that eye to eye contact and like you're with your partner.
Sure.
Right. And yeah. I feel like that's like the most intimate position possibly.
Yeah. Like I feel like if you're having a hard time, like looking them in the eye, like if that's awkward for you, maybe you shouldn't be having sex.
Yes.
Or like, I get it though. If it's toward the end of your coupling, you've been doing good. You've been doing a good job. You're dripping sweat on their forehead and like that
maple
sucks.
Syrup.
Yeah. The maple syrup. Mm. Mrs. Buttersworth.
Oh my.
All right. Pick a card.
Actually, I'm going to switch tactics.
Positions.
Yeah.
Did you almost say that?
I'm going to switch tactics on you. I have a question that I got keyed up that I'm genuinely interested in your take on.
Okay.
Do you remember the Nickelodeon Super Toy Run? Do you remember that?
Is that like the grocery store version of
kids? You're in like a Toys R Us and you're like, okay, kid, you have 5 minutes
yes.
to grab anything you want. You have unlimited carts. You just have 5 minutes. You have free reign of the store. Have at it.
I remember that.
Remember that? Okay. You have been chosen to participate in the Nickelodeon Super Toy Run as a kid or now, however you want to do it.
Okay.
What's your strat? What's your strategy? What are you doing?
I got to say, as a poor kid, I think I would be so overwhelmed and I would be terrible at this. I was at the time obsessed with action figures. And so I had a vast collection of hand-me-down or however I could get them. Like sometimes it was like Ninja Turtles, but like, do you remember back then all the limbs and the head would come off mm-hmm. of the shell part?
Yeah.
And so I often had like two Donatello legs, a Michelangelo left arm, a Leonardo right arm, because it would have like a blue thing, a purple thing, and like two orange things on one turtle. But I love that stuff. Like, so I'd be really that was what I wanted. Anytime my dad had the money and would take me to Johnny's Toys, which is the local toy store.
Johnny's Toys was the shit. Did you get the key?
No, not to the castle. No, never got the birthday castle.
I had a really awful revelation of how privileged I was as a child. I just thought every kid had a key to the castle and it wasn't a subscription that your parents fucking paid for.
Yeah.
Like, I just assume it's like, oh, are you a child local to the area? Here's your key.
Yeah. What'd you get with your key?
It was just like you got this key on your birthday in the mail and you just went to they had like a castle in this toy store and you would unlock the door and they just had like shitty toys in there. It was never anything like to write home about. It was like, oh, here's a.
Like one of those hands that sticks to the wall.
Yeah. Or like one of the paddles that had like the little bouncy ball attached to a string. You know, it was
classic. Like
a whoopee cushion.
Yeah.
That type of shit.
Yeah.
It was never anything to write home about, but it was, like, oh, I get to go into the castle. And I was talking to my girlfriend about this, and she's like, oh, yeah, you got to do that because you had parents that had money and cared and loved you. I'm like, oh, fuck. I thought just kids were doing that.
I was never in the castle.
That's some white privilege shit right there.
Yeah, man. Address your privilege, castle boy.
Yeah.
I'm the peasant in Fleet Bottom, as if you recall. But I would have grabbed a bunch of like Spawn action figures, Ninja Turtles, and like wasted a lot of time there. Might have got distracted by the Nerf guns. Mm.
So would you really kind of
maybe grab like Crossfire?
You get caught up in the Crossfire. All those kids playing a game in a dystopian future.
Yes.
But you would get, would you get caught up in like the choice where like, I don't want this one, I want that one, instead of just like all the toys in the basket, just going down the aisle, like shoving things.
I
think
I would. I was kind of a nervous kid. And I like now as an adult, it's like, just stick your arms out and just knock everything you can into the cart. But yeah. I wouldn't. No, I'd be like looking for, oh, that's the second edition. You know, I'm an idiot. And I'm, and then like, ah, thanks. Leave with your $48 of toys, idiot.
You didn't make it out of the first aisle.
Yeah. I probably would have just gotten lost looking for the stuff I liked and panicked and grabbed like a My Little Pony or an Easy Bake Oven or something.
Barbies, I'm out of time.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you have a strat in mind? Have you been planning this out?
Oh, man. I remember as a kid, because you'd watch that shit on Nickelodeon. As a kid, I'd be like, okay, I got to come up with a strategy. I got to do the layout. First, I need to figure out the layout of the Toys R Us. Where is everything?
Oh, like Ocean's 11?
Yeah, where are the video games? Where are the entrances? Where are the exits? Oh,
video games. I didn't even think about.
Because back then, they had the aisle of like tickets, and you just like grab the ticket. Remember that? And then you would take the ticket up to like the front desk that it was like a... It was like a desk that had like plexiglass around it, and you would give it to the teenager, be like, I would like my Nintendo, please. Yeah. And they would go grab it for you.
I used to go to Movie Warehouse, which was the Blockbuster at the time. And I was allowed to get like two movies and one video game. And back then the video games you could rent for about a week, and so you had to play the shit out of them to beat them, which was easy because you're a kid and you don't have anything else to do. And that's how I played all the games that I played, was renting them for the most part.
Yeah.
So that would have been cool, just unloading on Nintendo 64 games. Just,
hell yeah.
I got three Perfect Darks.
Hell yeah. You got the, was that like a red adapter that you had put in your 64 so you could play Perfect Dark? Oh. It like gave you like 64 more bits of RAM.
Jeez, the bits, bro. The bits. I loved Perfect Dark.
That's a great game.
Conker's Bad Fur Day.
You know, I never played Conkers until maybe like 20. It was 2017. I was playing it with a friend.
It was rated mature.
Yeah, I probably wasn't allowed. And is that the where there's like a monster like shit?
Oh, dude, there's so much bad shit.
And its teeth is like made of corn.
There's a flower you have sex with, and it has like big titties and stuff. And he gets drunk and like pees on something during one section.
Hell yeah! This was the Nintendo 64.
It was. I love that game.
Yeah.
Obvious reasons.
Obvious.
Banjo-Kazooie.
Is that a Rare game?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Rare made all the good games on N64.
There's Grand Theft Auto at the time, right? Was doing Rare, or was that always Yaminer?
I think it was always Rockstar. I could be wrong.
I'm probably just thinking of the R and thinking of Rare. Yeah, that's true.
I could be wrong, but yeah.
Do you want to try an individual question? What that's like?
Oh, sure, yeah. Ask me an individual.
What's your most useless talent?
My most useless talent?
Yeah.
Podcasting.
Can you tie like a knot in a cherry stem with your tongue?
No, I can't do that.
Can you burp the ABCs?
I can clap with my eye. Well, it's not really my eye. I just like...
What?
I just use my finger to smack this part of my eye and it makes a really loud noise. I don't even know if that's a talent. I just used to do that.
I don't think audio listeners will appreciate that noise. I don't think it sounds like I'm hanging out in Flea Bottom right now.
I mean, that's pretty useless, right? I don't even know if that's a talent.
No, I wouldn't count it as one.
That's just like I was a kid one day and bored and started hitting myself.
That's like those kids that can like,
oh, snap their finger by like,
yeah,
just wiggling their hand really quickly.
Are you one of those too?
No.
Yeah, those can get loud too. Interesting.
What, do you have a useless talent?
I don't think I have any useful or useless talents, really. No. What are my talents? I can, like, read really well. I can type, like, 130 words per minute. That doesn't seem very useful anymore.
I mean, it's useful.
Who needs a typist now?
No one.
I can type really fast into the Discord.
Just like emoji.
That slows me down when I want to find a GIF.
Yeah, he's like, hold on, let me search real quick. Let me look for it. Oh, you're pulling out another individ.
Aside from money,
okay,
what one thing have you gained from your current job?
So I have two current jobs. It's this show and then my day job. When we're talking about this job of podcasting, I've gained a lot of friends that I normally wouldn't have ever met who live all across the world, which is really, really cool. And I quite enjoy that. And the stuff I have gained from my day job has just been just a plethora of experience. Like I've learned more about the craft of like, I've learned way more about cameras and editing and producing and all that stuff. But I've also learned way more about like the city I live in of Cincinnati. Like it's surprising how much you can live in a place your whole fucking life and you don't even know anything about it.
I don't know shit about where we live.
So like that's
Phil
really cool.
Is like, it's like Cincinnati Phil is who I look to for Cincinnati facts.
Yeah. You're like, hey man, is this the place with the chili?
I know about Skyline Chili and Geta and that's it.
What about Oktoberfest?
Nope.
Did you know Cincinnati has the second largest Oktoberfest in the world?
Really?
Yeah. The only larger one is German? Is Munich. Yeah. Munich, Germany.
München. That's how they pronounce it off Deutsch.
München.
München.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. It can be tough out there as we try to navigate the many twists and turns that life throws our way. Not every problem we face has an obvious or easy solution, but talking through these issues can always bring major benefits. So whether you're dealing with a career change, relationship help, or just getting used to your new normal, therapy helps you stay connected to what you really want while you navigate life, so you can move forward with confidence and excitement. I myself have benefited from therapy. I have benefited from BetterHelp. I was struggling to find myself and figure out who I was post-divorce. BetterHelp matched me with an amazing therapist who taught me all about codependency, what it was, and ways I can combat it and realize my whole true self. So if it sounds like therapy is the right move for you, then give BetterHelp a try. It's online, convenient, flexible, and can work with your schedule. Filling out a brief questionnaire is all it takes to get matched with a licensed therapist. And you can switch therapists at any time. To start your own therapy journey, visit betterhelp.com/streamingthings today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, help.com/streamingthings. We are taking a brief break from this episode so that I can shout out the super patrons for the month of July. These are the people who support the show at the $25 or up tier, and they are literally keeping the lights on here at Streaming Things, and we're going to shout them out. Stanton Valentino, Brett X, Emily Scarano, Lil Tickler, Svento7, Pills Baby, Jay Scramo, AK Ashley Ray, Alan Tomlinson, Wendy O'Loughlin, Jason Hawkins, Trey Barrera, Conrad, David Malfara, Kaylee Sampson, Professor Beth RN, Rabbit Dog in a Barbie Car, Jose Ruben Cruz Rodriguez, Alexis Adler, Thomas Alexander, Emmy, Joe Velez, Valerie, John Collins, Amanda King, Sun Loving Mortal, Andrew Gray, Jadinklage Morgoon, Jen Robinson, Kate Kloop, Kalisha Reeves, Kiki Newton, Aaron Armstrong, Kevin Strother, Jeanette Murphy, Casey McCain, and Enza. And with that, back to the show. Here, what genre do you want? I'm going to ask you a question.
Hit me with past and future. I wonder what that's like.
Past and future. Oh, man.
What?
This is a doozy. I'm sorry.
Really?
Have you ever broken someone's heart?
Yes.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Do you want to elaborate? We don't have to elaborate if you don't want to.
I'm trying to think. Many times, you know, I was an addict, right? So I let people down constantly, but also a dumb kid. You know, I didn't have much guidance from my parents. My mom was bipolar. My dad was in and out of prison. So they were good people at heart, but not on paper. And they loved me very much. I've said many times on the show, like, I'm grateful. Like they told me they loved me many times a day. They hugged me a lot, you know? And so I feel like a lot of like affluent kids maybe didn't have that. And so I kind of got lucky in that regard, you know, where I'm very comfortable expressing my feelings because of them. But also, like, you know, I've always like had very low self-confidence and compensated by being very vocally fake confident. And so I think that's like the worst combo, because then people think you're an arrogant douche, but really you hate yourself. So it's like the worst of both worlds. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I get that.
And so like I have struggled in the past with like fidelity, I guess. I'm a serial monogamist. And so like I dated the same girl in high school from like 15 to all the way through my first year in college. And I cheated on her with like, our friend. And then I dated her for like 2.5 years. And that didn't end well because we were both addicts. And I was only single for like a few months and had a couple things, and then got my heart broken at 21 by a girl that I was just so infatuated with. And we weren't even like technically in a relationship. We just like all lived in the same like flop house. Mm-hmm. It was like five of us in a 2-bedroom house, and we partied all the time. And her and I just kind of like hooked up for 6 months, and I was like obsessed. And one day she like left me a note, like, I'm at this party, which was like her ex-boyfriend's party. And I was like destroyed. And she like basically said like, don't come, like, this is where I'm at though, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like crying my eyes out and stuff. I ended up getting kicked out of that house over like the drama of me crying and stuff over her, because I didn't pay rent or anything. I was just like an addict. So it was like, obviously, like, you need to go if you're not being like fun to be around.
Yeah.
So like
we don't want a sad boy.
I deserved that. But yeah. And then also again with my son's mother, you know, like that didn't have 7 years of us together. I feel like I betrayed that relationship and hurt her. So not a good history, if I'm being honest, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm so grateful. I was talking to Jimmy about this yesterday. I was like, isn't life so weird? I forget how it came up, but he's like, what do you mean? And I was like, well, it's like I did a bunch of like bad things, you know. I was an addict, like I hurt people, like I was really. You know, I hurt other people's feelings. I was bad in past relationships. Ultimately, like they always kind of ended poorly. And yet if I hadn't done that, I wouldn't be with my current wife. Like I would have never met her because I wouldn't have put myself in that position. Like my daughter wouldn't exist mm-hmm. if I didn't screw up. So like, isn't life weird? And like, and I was like, and look, I did some like 100% no arguing bad things, but look my daughter in the face and tell her I made mistakes, you know. Look at her super cuteness and say, you shouldn't be here. I dare you, because you can't. Dare you. She's too cute.
Yeah, she won't even understand.
I don't know. I think that that's interesting. And I but anyway, like, and I had to make amends to all of those people and when I got sober, and it was uncomfortable, and I'm glad that I did it, you know. And I've had good conversations with those women, and you know, people do stuff when they're young, and I don't like talking about that. So, but I appreciate this game.
I appreciate your openness and honesty, buddy. It's always been a trait of yours that I highly admire.
Regret all of that, but I did it.
Hey, I talked about reverse cowgirl earlier, so
I don't even think that's controversial. What about you?
Have I broken someone's heart?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, like similarly, like I've had relationships that, you know, didn't end as I would prefer.
Sure.
Right. There's one girl specifically. She was kind of a mess when we were kind of doing our thing. Like we were dating, but not really. It was just this really weird time. I was in a very bad place. It was the lowest point in my life. This was like around 2010, 2011, 2012, that year, those years. That was a very low point in my life where I had just gotten out of a 5-year relationship with someone who broke my heart. I didn't have the emotional maturity to deal with that. And so my way of dealing with it was doing anything and everything that didn't remind me of her. And because she was a pretty, you know, upstanding person, that pretty much like how I am now, like I like went to like partying and doing some, you know, not like hard drugs, but some drugs, and which was weird for me at the time. It was like a very big detour of who I was as a person at the time. And I ended up dating this person who was like the opposite of me. And I don't, to this day, I still don't even really know why she liked me, because we were so opposite, but there was a genuine care and love for each other there. We helped each other in ways that I don't think we really, really truly understood at the time. But because she was an ex-girlfriend of one of my really, really good friends, I shouldn't have been in that position with her. And it's something that's I rarely still talk about. And so I always felt guilty around her, and I never really gave her the chance to be my girlfriend, because it's like, oh, I shouldn't even be with you. And that was really shitty of me to do at the time. And I knew like she really, really wanted that relationship with me, and in some way I wanted it with her, but I knew we weren't, like, I just knew it wasn't a good thing. Because even though we helped each other, we also brought out the worst in each other. Like, you know me, like, I am a pretty non-confrontational, you know, I'll work with anybody on anything. But this woman would, like, I remember like screaming at her, and she would scream at me, and it was just not pretty. It was not a pretty relationship. And eventually, like, I have this. So growing up, my mom always told me, you know, hey, just because you break up with someone doesn't mean you can't still be friends or respect them. And I've always held true to that. Like, I may not be friends with all of my exes, but I have a reasonable relationship where if we were in a room together, we would probably,
it wouldn't be like, oh God. Yeah.
Yeah. We would probably come together, like, oh my gosh, how are you? I'm so happy to see you. Are you doing well? Oh, I'm so excited. This woman was the only person that I was like, I cannot talk to you ever again, because I know that there is a force that brings us together, but it's not good and it's hurting us. And, you know, even though that is true, I still feel awful about it, because I know I never let the relationship be what it could have been because of the situation and my own cowardice, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
And she didn't deserve that. And I think that really broke her heart. And I feel bad about it to this day.
Yeah.
And I hope she's doing well.
Sure.
But yeah, I haven't spoken to her since. It's been like 10 years.
Yeah. I think all of us as human beings will have like these moments of, and that's why we try to distract ourselves with movies and TV and video games and jobs, because it's in those quiet moments often where like, oh, I forgot I said that to that kid in third grade. What a piece of shit move. I hope he's okay. And you just get sad.
Yeah.
I've been doing that. And like, and I'm in a 12-step program where those moments are supposed to be alleviated by the process of making amends. And so you can just truly and fully focus on the present. Because it's worry about the future and morbid reflection on the past that causes us to drink fall into self-pity. It's all just bullshit. You know, it's supposed to alleviate the need to drink and use drugs. Mm-hmm. And so I've been concerned, if I'm being honest, because that's been happening to me a lot more over the past year and a half or so, where it's like stuff that I've done in my life is bothering me again, even though I have made amends for it. And like, and I've been a different kind of person for over 10 years now. But I'll just like in the middle of the night, you know, remember like, you know, I hope they're okay or whatever. I wonder why that is. I don't know why it's creeping back up.
I know that feeling of like you want, there's that knee jerk or that need to reach out and just like, hey, are you okay? Hey, I'm really sorry about this. Hey, I want the best for you, but you know that's probably not the best thing to do.
Yeah.
And so like, you're trapped by this.
It's like Brooke was the name of my high school girlfriend, and she was the sweetest, most loyal, wonderful person. She truly was. And we were actually friends after, even though I caused a terrible breakup. We were friends again many times throughout the next 5 or years or whatever, right? And she actually is the childhood, it's complicated, the childhood friend of my son's mother. So I would see her at like Christmas, even as when I was with Sarah, you know, it was like we would see each other all the time. She's married and stuff. And it was like, oh, hi, you know, kind of interesting, like 15 years later kind of thing. But even like in the depths of my addiction, she would like let me sleep in her mom's basement and stuff. If I was just like running the streets, nowhere to sleep, she would like, I'd call her from a payphone and she would be like, yeah, you know, come over. And she'd like give me food and a blanket. And you know what I mean? Like, just the sweetest person in the world. Mm-hmm. It's funny you say that, because like over the past couple of months, I've thought about, since I'm not with my son's mother anymore, I don't see her at all. So I haven't seen her in like 7 years. And I'm like, I wonder how she's doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know why. Like, I'm sure she's fine. I have no idea. But it's just like, and it's like, I still remember her. She's had the same phone number since we were like 14. And so I know it by heart, you know, because back then you had to memorize phone numbers.
Yeah,
you had to
memorize that shit. Yeah.
And I've thought about like, I wonder if I should just call her, you know? But it's like, what, is that weird? You know?
Yeah.
Probably don't, you know? I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I think about that. Or I think about that. The girl that I got, I don't know if it was even on this episode we talked about that, but my friend hung up and I got mad. Like,
oh, yeah. That was this episode.
We were besties for such a long time. And I think
that's a patron episode. Sorry.
Yeah.
We talked about that today for sure.
I think a girl that I was in love with that I was just friends with throughout school, I think about talking to her sometimes. And I'm like, that's definitely not going to happen because I haven't talked to her. And I remember when I got sober, I reached out to her on like Facebook and she was like, oh, hey, how you been? Cause it's been a couple of years, or cause I had like so deeply homeless and stuff that I just off the grid. And she was like, oh, how you been? And I was like, I sent her, so embarrassing. I sent her this like long message of like, oh, hey, I got addicted to heroin and, you know, but I'm sober now. I'm in a halfway house in this city. And, blah, blah, blah. She never responded.
Oh no.
And that's the last time I talked to her. And she was like my best friend for years and years up until like when she moved away. And like, she got a really promising career as a graphic designer. And like, she lives in some super cool city out west, you know, like Seattle or something. And she's been a big deal over there for a long time. And she was probably like, the fuck, you know? Yeah. And it's so embarrassing.
I'm good. How are you? Was all I was looking for.
So anyway, God, that's way too much info about me.
You want me to?
I'm scared of these now.
I know these are heavy, man.
Let's do sex ones again.
Oh wait, it's your turn to pick. It's your turn to pick because we just drew the past one.
Okay, so you get to pick the category and I'll draw it.
Ooh, let's do a couple. Let's talk about ourselves.
Okay,
as a couple,
what makes you feel appreciated?
Oh, just in general.
Yeah. What's your love language? I guess.
I don't know, a lot of things. Just engaging with me, like talking with me, asking, just being present. Like, because I'm, you know, I'm still recovering from my last relationship where I was not treated that way for a long time, where I was just kind of like just this ghost that lived in my own house. So now that I have a partner that actually, it's kind of weird. I have to get used to a partner that actually like wants to see me all the time, wants to hang out, and I love it. I eat it up. I'm like, this is great. Is this what relationships are supposed to be? And it's just because like I am a creature of constant feedback. I need constant feedback because I always need to know if I'm doing okay, where I stand with you. Are you upset with me? Like I am a creature of feedback. So and a lot of that comes through engagement. So like you and I text all the time and that makes me feel appreciated because you'd message me like, hey, I have this idea for the show, or hey, what do you think of this idea? Or like, hey, man, you doing okay? Or like just the things that you send me, like that makes me feel appreciated. Or like some of the fiends themselves will DM me stuff. Like even still, I have people DMing me like, hey, man, so sorry about the divorce. I'm like, I appreciate that. That was a long time
that
ago.
That episode was recorded years ago. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm doing okay.
I watched a video because I think in our culture, there's, I don't know what it's called for sure, but like people mock people like that a lot, where that like, especially guys, you know, girls, women will mock men who are, hey, are you okay? Did I do something wrong? Like it became a meme to make fun of insecure guys like that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I've always kind of been that way myself. And I started crying like a baby at the dumbest, like a TikTok or something. Because I don't remember if it was a woman or a man, but it was like, hey, maybe stop making fun of guys who ask those questions all the time. Because that is a trauma response to childhoods where things were frequently not okay and people were frequently mad at them. And so they have a need to check. So maybe just quietly reassure them and they'll eventually heal. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm going to cry again now. Because it was like, shit was not okay almost always when I was a kid. You know what I mean? Like I'd come home from school and like my dad would be very upset because of some crazy drama. And like now we have to move or whatever. You know what I mean? And so it's like, it's a trauma response to be like, hey, are you okay? You know? So I thought that I wanted to offer you that if you've never seen that video or anybody say that that's okay to be that way and that it's a response to trauma.
That's so weird. Like I'm vaguely aware that people kind of make fun of dudes like that, like like you and I, but like I never really took any of that to any heart because it's just like, oh, well, you're clearly someone that I just wouldn't jive with. So I don't really care what you have to say.
Good. Because I did. I've tried to not ask and be like, how do I teach myself to just assume people are okay?
Yeah. Well, like,
I don't know.
I don't know what the problem is. Like, hey, we none of us have telepathy that I know of.
Well,
until we get the special mind reading powers, I don't see what's wrong. Tune into our
aliens episode.
Oh yeah, tune into that. But until that happens, like I don't see what's wrong with, hey, you are a person I care about. You are someone that I love or respect or really cherish. And I'm just asking you, hey, because I cherish your relationship so much, am I doing okay by you? I don't understand like why that's like a, I don't date short people. That's like that type of vain shit that I'm like, okay, that's more about you than me. I
kind of understand it on the one hand where it's like, you know, somebody asks you if you're okay, like six times in one day. And like the first five times I was, but now I'm highly annoyed, you know, but ultimately my hot take is that you're usually not, if you're putting off those vibes and the reason someone asking you that is annoying you is because you're not okay and you don't want to talk about it. Right.
Right.
But also like something hit me so deeply when I saw that video, because it's like if my wife is, she says she's going to the store or something, right? I do this all the time. And my wife's so great about it. And that's why we're so good together. Like if I call her and she doesn't answer a couple of times, my brain does not go, oh, she left her phone in her car. Or she can't hear it ring and she's just having a good time. I get so deeply upset and worried. Not that she's like cheating on me or something. Like I'm wondering.
Does something happen?
Car accident is the first thing that occurs to me. And the reason is because something terrible probably did happen every time I thought that as a kid. You know what I mean? Like a lot of my friends are dead. All of my family's dead or gone. And like, you know what I mean? Like I'd come from school and I can remember like being 7 years old and coming home with my backpack. And my mom was bipolar. So she would like let me in on way too much details of the drama. Like, I think you're somewhat supposed to protect your kids, you know, but my mom would be like, I don't know how we're going to pay rent. We got to figure this out. And I'd be like,
you got any ideas?
And I'd be like, huh?
You want to do that lemonade stand shtick again?
Yeah. Or like, I remember my dad's kidneys shut down. Because he had diabetes. That's when he found out he had diabetes. And I was playing with my toys and my mom came in crying and was like, daddy's not doing good. I don't think he's going to make it. We need to go to the hospital. You know what I mean? Like shit like that where I'm just like, Or, you know, he like got a job at the White Castle factory and he got a third degree burn on his leg. Ugh. And our car got caught on fire and blew up at the grocery store one time. And, I mean, I can go on and on and on and on. But the point is like, that's why my brain does that is because like, sometimes I'd get a weird feeling and I'm like, I wonder where so-and-so is. And then I'd never see him again.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm like, please answer the phone and just say you're having a good time. And then I'm good for a few hours, you know?
Yeah. It's interesting. Cause I grew up in I did have a different childhood than you were in that. I didn't have a lot of bad things happen per se. Like I had a pretty nice childhood. I mean, I got the Johnny's Toys key. Like
that's all that really matters.
I don't mean to brag, but
stop rubbing that in my face.
I was talking to my therapist a while ago and kind of came into this realization. So I'm the youngest of four kids, right? And then it's my mom and then my three brothers and sisters who are considerably older than I am. And I remember specifically being like really, really little and feeling like Like, I could just feel the energy that my mom was putting off at any different. And my mom's a great person, but like, she has had some terrible things happen to her in her life. And I remember being at a very young age, like if my mom was sad, I needed to make her feel better. And like, and yeah. she was never one of those. She's a strong German lady who can kick anyone's ass. Right. So she wasn't like, I'm sad crying, but you could just tell like when your parents are sad. Like
I have a lot of codependency issues for sure.
Yeah.
For
like she wasn't coming up to me and being like, son, I'm sad. Do the happy thing. Yeah. I would just pick up that.
Dance I like.
Dance.
Put the clogs on. I'm German.
So I would like go out of my way to be like, hey, and try to cheer her up or like talk to her. And you know, I think I naturally grew up with this ability to be like super empathetic towards people I care about. Like even if they're not saying they're sad, I could still pick up on it. And that's why like, but I don't trust myself because sometimes, you know, that did get me in hot water. I'd be like, I thought you were sad. Like, no, weirdo, what are you talking about? So that's why I always like clarify, like
the only thing sad is your report card.
Oh, go to your room, Steven. But yeah, I think it's weird to be upset with someone who just genuinely cares about you and just wants to make sure you're okay.
I agree.
Yeah.
Are you okay?
I'm okay.
Good.
Are you okay?
I'm less okay than before we started this. But yeah.
Who knew when we would get into these couples cards and start like feeling sadness?
Let's just break the ice a little bit with some intimacy. Some
intimacy?
No, not that one.
Oh, shit.
No, what it was a free one? Question again. And I don't want to get us in hot water with reverse cowgirl again. What's the thing I do in bed you'd want me to do more often? Well,
well, talking from experience.
Suck those little toesies again.
I want you to stuff your tongue down my ear canal more, please.
Is there a sex position you've wanted to try but haven't?
Is there a sex position I've wanted to try but haven't?
Like maybe you've never been pegged.
So
turn this down at the hospital now.
If you are recovering from some sort of surgery and the whole hospital wing can hear you, turn this down. We're about to talk about cheese getting clapped and pegging.
Or right? Turn it up.
Oh, spread the good word, my guy. So I think I'm a pretty milk toast, meat and potatoes type of lover. You know what I'm saying? Like I like the classics.
Vanilla.
Yeah, vanilla.
I've never heard it described as milk toast.
No, yeah.
I don't think that's a good thing. Milk sours.
I'm a real meat and potatoes kind of lover, you know what I'm saying? Yeah,
that sounds like
I'm a real blue jeans type of person.
I like to work at the factory all day. Come home, turn the lights off after a decent shower. Crawl under the blankets.
And weep. So in terms of like sex positions, I don't know if there's like a sex position that I've wanted to try that I haven't tried already.
Right. I'm with you.
I'm a grown ass man. I'm about to be 36. I've been around the block or two.
If anything, I'm trying to just scale it back.
Yeah. Are things getting too athletic for you?
No. Yeah, I agree with you. Nothing really.
I mean, I will say so, like, if we want to give a real answer in any sort of situation, there are like locations that I think would be fun to try that I've never tried before.
Like anal?
No.
Oh, wait, like the beach?
A beach adjacent. Adjacent, yeah, sure. Oh, okay. Not like on the beach. Sand gets everywhere. It's coarse, and I hate sand.
His job is beach.
You ready? You want to do a beach off? I'll beat you off right now.
No, I know what you mean. Get some adventurous stuff, like a phone booth, maybe.
I'll never forget. Okay, so this is not a story about me.
A TARDIS. Fucking the TARDIS.
Full of timey-wimey stuff. I'll never forget. So the woman that I mentioned earlier about breaking your heart, I will never forget this story. So she had a brother.
Oh,
who was a couple years older than her. And this dude was an incredibly attractive guy. All right. I'm talking Boone from Lost attractive. Wow. Okay. I'll say that handsome ass man. Uh-huh. And he always had incredibly like gorgeous model girlfriends. Uh-huh. Like every time, like I would see him with his girlfriend, I was like, holy shit. Did she just walk off of a
runway,
like a runway to be here? This is nuts.
Like an airport worker?
A stewardess? I'll never forget. We were hanging out one time and the conversation of like, where's the craziest place you've made whoopee in? And he said the zoo. And I'm like, motherfucker's getting laid in the zoo? How does that even happen?
I fucked a zebra.
And he told me where specifically. And so sometimes I walk past that area when I'm at the Cincinnati Zoo. I'm like, there? Children are nearby, sir.
Yeah, that's true. Unless he was like an employee.
But I'll never fucking forget that he said the zoo. It, like, I did a real ass spit take. Like, what?
I don't know if I should tell that story. I don't know if that's weird or not. But yeah, I don't. Well, so I lost my virginity in the woods.
I feel like a lot of people do that.
Yeah, like that's pretty standard, right?
Yeah.
So and then the stairwell of a Radisson hotel was the next time.
Hell yeah.
I didn't have anywhere to go. You know what I mean? I lived in an apartment.
So was this like a there were woods nearby the hotel?
No. It wasn't the same day. It was like in the woods. And then like weeks later, we were at a birthday party at a hotel for like a birthday swimming pool party. And her and I ran off to the stairwell.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But yeah, I don't think about that. Maybe I'm just like you said, we're in our 30s now. I'm not like, man, I'd really like to get laid in a tugboat or something.
Don't we all?
Like I tell you what I think about a lot is like as a young person, I heard like the Mile High Club a lot. It was like really a popular joke in the early.
That sounds like I don't want to be a part of that.
There's no airplane bathroom I've ever been on where I can see that's even possible, except that one flight when we were headed to LA and I guess we were on an international plane.
Yeah.
That bathroom was actually kind of big. I was like, oh shit, I could fucking hear.
This is where the Mile High Club happens.
I did have sex in a Jimmy John's bathroom once.
That's equitable to a plane?
No. It was like a movie.
Was it crazy quick?
It was. But here's the thing. I had her up on the sink.
Okay.
And the sink broke. It was like a movie.
Oh no. Employees wash their hands there.
No. It was like
all like, the water burst?
Yes.
Oh no.
It was a whole thing.
Oh my God. What did you do?
I'm ashamed to say that we fled.
I get it. Yeah. And that's probably the right.
I was driving thinking about this a couple weeks ago and was like, oh my God, that's such an asshole move. Like as somebody who went on to pay their taxes and work in lots of restaurants and stuff, I'm like, damn, that would suck. Like, cause I didn't even tell anybody. So it was just like for God knows how long.
Oh,
became
no.
Like a major incident. Maybe.
Oh no. And there was just a sink on the ground.
What was like hanging there?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I fled.
Damn.
I left her. I was kidding. We left together.
You're like, I'm going to go get someone about this. And then you just left. And she's...
I think she did something in there and ran.
There's a woman breaking the sink.
I saw her. She was sitting on it for no reason that had anything to do with me. Anywhoozle.
That's so funny.
Should wrap this up. Is this arable? Is this wild?
I think we need to do one last card.
Okay.
One final one. Family, intimacy, individual, couple, and past and future.
Well, past and future, because last time that was incredibly detrimental to my emotional state. Why not just roll the dice again?
Okay. So this could be detrimental to your emotional state, but in the opposite direction.
Okay.
Yeah. Because it says, have you ever cried tears of joy?
Oh, all the time.
All day, every day.
All day, every day. When's the last time I cried tears of joy? Looking at my daughter, I've done it like 6 times in the year that she's been alive. And it's funny because I mocked my wife twice in a playful way.
Sure.
I would like come in from taking a shower and she would just be streaming tears, staring at the baby in her arms.
Yeah.
Yes. And I'd be like, oh, loser, you know, but she always catches me now. And I did it like last week. My daughter was just like, she's like almost a year old, but she's been walking kind of for like a month now. And she'll take like 5 or 6 steps in like this goofy diaper booty waddle way and then like fall down. And she's that, you know, doing all the mumbly, super cute stuff. And she's hilarious. Like she's starting to develop this like significantly unique personality of her own. And I was just, yeah, staring at her, walking around the room, mumbling. And she like looked at me and smiled real big because she did something she thought was funny.
She's already hamming it up.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah. She's just like your dad. She's showboating. I don't know. I think that's the most, I mean, I have these little moments. I think life is a series of moments, and like 80% of the time you're really scared and confused. At least for me, it's just like different levels of fear and confusion. Mm-hmm. And 10% of the time you're asleep. And then there's like these little moments where you're like, everything kind of makes sense. You know exactly what your place in this world is. It's clear as day. You're so grateful. And it lasts maybe 3 or 4 seconds. And if you're lucky, if you get those ever, right. Mm-hmm. But those are kind of like what I live for. I get them watching movies. I get them reading books. I get them hanging with friends, you're just kind of like, it's an out of body experience where you see yourself at your dinner with your friends or whatever. And it's just like 3 or 4 seconds where it's just like a sigh of relief. That's what those feel like to me. Those tears of joy moments.
That's beautiful.
I don't remember anything specific though that else I could share. What about you?
Oh, I don't know if I could top what you just said, because that was so fucking beautiful. I'm probably, I don't know. I'm probably like, oh, Force Awakens came out and Han Solo died. I don't know.
I know what I have to do, but I don't know if I have the strength to do it. Like, tears of joy. Kylo.
But yeah, like that. Yeah, you're right, though. I have tears of joy quite often, too. I guess it was this week. This Barbie? Week, actually. Yes, Barbie. It was Barbenheimer. Yeah. No, so I kind of took the week off this week. With the goal that my girlfriend and I... it was her kids are out of town on vacation with their dad. And so this was kind of like our first week to kind of like try the whole living together thing.
Yeah.
And a big hurdle of that for us was she has a dog, beautiful dog. And
doesn't get along with the weans.
Well, Ellie specifically, you know, Ellie, she's prickly. She's very choosy. She was attacked by a dog when she was a puppy. So that's why she's like, definitely doesn't fuck with other dogs.
She's what the Brits would have called a, just kidding.
Can't see you next here. Tuesday.
Yeah.
And so we were really, really worried about it. We've actually introduced them like 2 or 3 times in the previous several months we've been together, but it's always never been good. So finally we were like, okay, we're going to do this thing where you come over and you live in my apartment for like the whole fucking week. So just bring Margaret and it'll be a trial. That's her dog.
Yeah, I assumed.
It's not like some older woman some like, bring Margaret.
I'll help.
Here I come.
Help is on the way.
Help is on the way, dear. It's like, yeah, bring your dog and they'll just have to be together, right? We have to force this relationship. And God damn it, Chris, if Ellie had no fucking problem with this dog the whole week, it was as if they had always been friends.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it went so well. And there was literally a night where like her and I are sitting on the couch. We were playing a video game. We were playing like, Overcooked. I don't know, some dumb like cooperative game that you can play. So we're playing.
Oh, is that the people that made It Takes Two?
I don't know. But we did play It Takes Two as well.
I love that game.
So we played a bunch of like couples games. But I remember sitting on the couch. I've got Ellie is cuddled on my left leg. Pippin is cuddled in between both her and I. And then her dog is cuddled up to her right leg. And we're all just on the couch together, cuddling as like a little family. And it was just such a really sweet moment that I kind of shed a couple tears of joy. Like, we're doing it.
This is the whole thing.
This is so good. I love this feeling.
My controller's charged.
We're going to play Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge next. It's going to be dope.
Cheez-Its are the perfect level of salty.
Oh, and we discovered the best snack ever. Did you see my Instagram? Oh, it was... Okay, second best.
Okay. No, I didn't see your gram.
No, we discovered... So they have these things called Fruity Pebbles Crisps. Have you seen these?
No. So are they like... Wait. Are they like Fruity Pebble chips?
Yeah. So, you know, like those circular Tostitos chips?
Yes.
Imagine those, but made of Fruity Pebbles. That's what they are. Because we went to the grocery store and we got everything we would need to make. And so we would never have to leave the apartment.
Yes.
We could just make all our food. So, of course, we had like impulse buys out the ass.
Yeah. We might need these. It's Fruity Pebbles crisps.
But we got the Fruity Pebbles crisps and we're like, okay, it's like a Tostitos chip, but you dip those. What do we dip these crisps in?
Cream cheese, milk.
Jet puffed marshmallow cream.
Oh.
It's like a... Fruity Pebbles Rice Krispie treat, but without all the hassle of making a Rice Krispie treat.
Yeah, just one at a time.
My guy, We're going to end recording and I'm going to introduce you to this.
I'm going to have a bite.
I still have some out there.
I'm a starving.
You're a starving.
I'm hoping that she has some of those meat sticks in there still.
She definitely has the meat sticks. You can always count on her and having the meat sticks.
I'm
going to
have
fridge.
A couple of those and then some Fruity Pebble dessert, baby. Let's do that. Thank you guys. It's all the time. That's all the time we have for right now. Sorry if we made you bummed out or overshared.
I think people like this type of stuff.
I hope
though.
So. We did it.
If you liked it, let us know. If you didn't like it, also let us know.
That's right. Send your favorite positions into streaming. No, don't do that. That's all the time we have. My name is Kit Laser.
And I'm Steve.
And this was Streaming Things Super Personal Edition. Happy streaming.
Pegging.
That was the one I'd like to
try. My sister listens to this show.
Really?
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.